This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta A-Stars. With her opening lines, Carol Zoroff paints a scene of harsh immigrant lives in the mid-19th century. Hungry people cut up dead horses for a bit of meat, carcasses meant to be boiled down into glue and grease on a fictional New York island. From there, the story covers war, poverty, labor strife, and social liberties. Zoroff's debut novel, Barren Island, published by Western Michigan University's New Issues Poetry and Prose, has been long listed for the National Book Award.
Barren Island takes place on a fictional island in Jamaica Bay, which your listeners may know of because Kennedy Airport is at Jamaica Bay, so they might have passed through. And for many years, until the 1930s, the actual Barren Island was the site of an industrial plant that was used for rendering glue and grease from the animals that lived in New York. This was primarily horses. Before the combustion engine, before everybody had trucks and cars, everything was moved around in New York by horse and by barge, and those were work animals that did not live long. So this story takes place on a fictional version of that island. It's very close to Brooklyn. It's very close to Manhattan. Yet the people who work there often never went to Manhattan or Brooklyn. They lived their entire lives there. They were given housing. Mm-hmm. There was a schoolhouse for children. And I wondered what it might be like to live there. And the island was finally closed down in the late 30s. And so I set my story with the bookends of 1929 to 1939, which is the stock market crash and in 1929 and the beginning of World War II in September of 1939. So it was it really covers the Depression era and when the world is in turmoil. And I wondered what it would be like for these people living on this island so close to one of the greatest cities in the world, one of the an international city, yet at arm's length from all that was going on. So it's sort of a small town existence in the shadows of an enormous world-class city.
Yeah.
And how they would deal with their actual small town lives, yet deal with the larger issues of the day that could not be avoided. And most of these people were immigrants. Most, not all, were immigrants. There was a small African-American population, and they, of course, were not immigrants. Their ancestors were brought here as slaves.
Right.
And how they dealt with the issues such as the stock market crash, racism, abortion, the festering fascism in Europe, labor struggles because they were trying to unionize. So all of these issues found their way to this little spit of land that was a factory site. It's so hard to say what it's about, in, you know, without either summarizing
a little bit of everything. I mean, it's huge. It's history, and yet I found, sometimes uncomfortably so, that it echoes in some of the issues we're going through today, whether it's starting with immigration, but there was, for instance, on page 380, there was this man, Fritz Kuhn, and he stands in front of a crowd calling white Gentiles the true patriots. And then you say something about, you know, he could run for office and get elected and nobody would stop him. There were areas like that in the book where it's going,
oh, geez.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you pointed that out because I finished this book a few years ago when our political platform felt very different. At least to me, it was a wonderful period of progress and progressive politics.
Right.
And I would have never anticipated what's happening now, although I always knew it was possible.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Carol Zoroff imagines the courage that immigrants then and now must have.
These individuals, they didn't choose to be born at the time they were born, but there they are. You know, what would you do if you were born in a certain time? How would you respond? Would you be the same person as you are today, or would circumstances make you somehow different? I always wonder, what would I do if I was in that situation? You know, what would I do if I was in Charlottesville this summer? How would I have responded? I can know how I vote and how I think and how I speak among my friends, but what would I do in a dangerous situation? And I've been in those situations. The first time I went to Austin, Texas, there was a Ku Klux Klan march, and I'd never seen such a thing. And I went with my friends as counter-protesters, and I was scared. And I've certainly gone to lots of protests in New York, and I'm gay, so I've gone to gay rights marches and rallies and have certainly felt threatened there, but not so much anymore. And I'm in this cozy cushion of New York where everything bad that can happen happens, but everything good that can happen happens, and there are lots of people to be surrounded by. So it's not the lone voice calling out in the darkness. So I don't have to have the kind of courage that people elsewhere have to have in order to take to the street.
Speaking of courage and some of the dangers that we've had to face, now, I wondered if that had an influence on your choosing the subject matter for your novel, or if you thought about them as you were writing. You had four grandparents who were Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe who also worked in garment factories.
Yeah.
You've lost family members to the Holocaust. Did you think about them as you were writing?
I did think about them. This is not their story.
Right.
They didn't live on this island. They didn't do this kind of work. They had very different lives than the people described here. But I did think about them. You know, they were born in a different century. They were born at the very tail end of the 19th century. And that immigrant experience, I've always been in awe of people who pick up, pack up, and go. My maternal grandmother came here when she, I think, was about 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And she came with her parents and a grandmother. So she did not make that choice. She did not come. She was educated in America. But my other grandparents came as teenagers, and they came alone and were sent by family because they couldn't earn a living. There were just no opportunities for them, and politically things were very difficult. World War I was beginning to kick up. The Hungarian-Austrian Empire, that doesn't exist anymore, but it existed. The Russian Empire, all that turmoil. Mm-hmm. And certainly for young Jewish men, if they were drafted into the Russian army, they were never seen again. They were the war fodder, just as in this country we use the poorest of our people as war fodder.
Yeah.
They get the worst assignments there in the infantry. So people were leaving. They were, you know, it was not a good place to live. I have a grandfather came here when he was 16 on a boat alone. I think, really? You know, you did that? You slept outdoors? You know, wow. You know, at 16, you know, I was a pain in the neck living with my parents, being stubborn, not figuring out how to survive that kind of thing. I had to survive other issues. But so I admire people who make that leap. I know other people fear them and resent them. Not me.
Yeah.
I really admire it. It's something I would find very difficult to do.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Carol Zoroff, author of Barren Island. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.